Let's pray as we look in God's Word. Now, Lord, we are asking that You would incline our hearts toward Your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn our eyes now from looking at worthless things and give us life in Your ways. Open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, that we might behold wonderful things in Your law. Unite our hearts now to fear Your name. Satisfy us this morning with Your unfailing love, that we might rejoice and be glad all of our days. Grant, O Lord, that we would be doers of Your word and not hearers only. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're back in the book of Mark this week. And this is our eighth sermon in the book of Mark, and we're still in chapter 1. I hope you're okay with that. I hope it's not too slow for you. We will be picking up the pace later on as some of the sections in the book of Mark get larger. There's an old song, maybe you know it. It says, "Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole." Anybody ever sang that song before? No, Bill Gaither, "He touched me. Oh, He touched me." You don't know that? Yeah, it's an old Bill Gaither song. Jesus liked to touch people. At least the book of Mark likes to record how much Jesus touched people. At least 8 times, Mark tells us specific instances where Jesus touched someone. In chapter 1, verse 31, we looked at a couple weeks ago. You remember He took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand and healed her. He didn't just heal her, but Mark makes sure he tells us He took her by the hand. In 141 today, we will see He laid His hand on a leper. In 541, He took Jairus' daughter by the hand and raised her from the dead. Chapter 6, verse 5, He laid His hands on a few sick people and touched them, healed them. Chapter 7, verse 33, He put His fingers inside a man's mouth and touched his tongue. Not common practice today. Chapter 8, verse 23, He did almost the same thing as with the mute man, on a blind man's eyes. Chapter 9, He raised up a demonized boy by touching him. And then in chapter 9, verse 36, and in chapter 10, Mark tells us specifically that Jesus took little children into His arms. Jesus touched people. We read these verses in the book of Mark. I want to read it again. Follow along with me. And a leper came up to him, imploring him, and kneeling, begging him, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately, Mark's favorite word, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out, and he began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town. But he was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Leprosy was and is an awful illness. People were truly outcasts in society, much more than anyone would be an outcast today. So today, maybe we would say, a person with AIDS or HIV, maybe they would be an outcast in society. But actually, there are great many charities and many people who have great compassion on HIV patients. At this time, people did not have compassion, and there were no leprosy ministries, per se, going and trying to reach out to these folks. You stayed away from them. You had to stay 50 meters or 50 paces away from anyone with leprosy. They were to stay away from you. And if they came close to anyone, within 50 meters, let's say, they had to cry out with a loud voice to make you aware, "Unclean, unclean." Can you imagine what that would do to the person, having to say that about yourself all the time? If someone touched a leper, they became contaminated. If a leper went into a house, the house would be contaminated. The house would be immediately dirty and unfit to live in. Josephus, the Jewish historian of that time period, the first century, he says that a leper is not better than a dead person. A leper was not better than a dead person. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 give countless details about leprosy. Two chapters about leprosy and how to diagnose certain skin conditions. Chapter 14 of Leviticus gives the details on how to prove if you were going to be cleansed of leprosy. A person was to go to the priest, as we see on the screen, and they were to bring an animal, a lamb, for sacrifice. And if they couldn't afford a lamb, then they were to bring a bird to be sacrificed. And then the priest would kill the bird or kill the lamb and then take some of the blood. You can read it in Leviticus 14. It's quite detailed. Blood on the right earlobe, blood on the right big toe, very specific. And they would pronounce this person clean. People who had leprosy had to leave their families, they had to leave their job, they had to leave everything. They could not enter the city of Jerusalem, could not worship, could not enter a synagogue. Your life was over. Notice, firstly, the very first words of this passage, "And a leper came to him." Do you understand what it would take for those words to happen. A leper came to him. He wasn't supposed to be coming to anyone. He wasn't supposed to come within 50 meters of Jesus. And Jesus was not supposed to be anywhere near him. No person was supposed to be. They were like zombies. They were like the living dead. But he comes to Jesus. He falls on his face. He likely hasn't seen his wife and kids in years. He hasn't experienced friendship or community. He hasn't smelled a home-cooked meal. He hasn't slept in a bed. He hasn't bathed. And beyond all this, according to Leviticus, you're supposed to have your clothes hanging down, your hair uncut. He hasn't touched a person in years. And yet, he has this faith. He had to break into the crowds and somehow come up to Jesus. What faith he had. A desperate faith. The same kind of faith it takes us to come to Jesus. He came to Jesus and he said to him, if you're willing, you can do it. So he believed Jesus could do it. He just didn't know if Jesus would do it. Have you ever met someone? You ever talked to someone about the gospel? Maybe they believe that Jesus can save them. They just don't know if Jesus will save them. Maybe they've gone too far. Too much is in their past. Too much gross sin. Maybe it's you. Maybe you say, I've done a lot, Pastor. You've done a lot, but you don't know what I've done. You've not done what I've done. Well, what would Jesus do to this man? What would Jesus' response be to this man? What would he do? Look in verse 41. Notice the words, moved with pity. It's really not a great English translation. Some of your translations may say something like, moved with compassion. Pity kind of has a different connotation. Some of your translations may even say, Jesus in anger stretched out his hand and touched him. And the reason is because there are some original Greek manuscripts that from a long, long time ago that say Jesus with anger. And some of them say Jesus with compassion. Scholars would say if Jesus was angry, it's because he was angry at what original sin has done in causing people to be in such a state. But regardless, Jesus is moved with compassion. Jesus is moved to do one thing, to touch the man. This word, moved with compassion, means from his spleen. It means from his gut. It wasn't just a pity, oh, I feel sorry for him. Jesus felt a deep down hurt for this man's condition. And Jesus touches him. You realize Jesus did not have to touch him. He had the power to just say to him, I will be clean. But he doesn't do that. Jesus does what is completely forbidden and taboo and strange and unthinkable. He touches the man. Why did he do that? He would be contaminated himself. Jesus would become contaminated with leprosy if he touched the man. But he touched him. We don't know why. We are not told why Jesus does it. We just know that there is something about human touch that is powerful. Is there not? There is something very powerful about touch. Even if people are in an argument with somebody, maybe a husband and wife are in an argument, and maybe you lay your hand, maybe you've done something to make your wife really mad, and you lay your hand on her shoulder, and she says, "Don't touch me." It's like, because touch is so powerful in an argument, if you touch someone, it's like an insult that you're trying to be nice to me in the midst of a conflict. Touch is powerful. Jesus says, I will be clean. And he was clean. Immediately. He didn't become clean over a process of time. You see the power that Jesus has? He just says, I will be clean. And the man is clean. You understand leprosy? What would have had to take place in order for this man to be made whole? Rotting flesh would have turned to fresh skin. Fingers that had been worn off would reappear. Wounds that he had would be healed. The feeling in his body would have returned, because that's actually what happens now in leprosy. People know what happens now. What do? You lose the feeling in your body, and so people actually destroy their body by just running into things and not feeling it. You lose the feeling. You become numb. Can you imagine the joy that this man felt? Imagine the joy of being made whole and being made clean and being restored to society, to your family. Jesus, look at verse 43. Strangely, Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone." Is Jesus being unrealistic? Or is Jesus really doesn't want the guy to share? That defies everything we've ever heard in our lives. We're supposed to go share, right? We're supposed to announce from the rooftops. We're supposed to make sure everybody knows. But Jesus doesn't say that to this man. Is Jesus playing games with him like I might do with one of our children? We look at one of our children and say, "Don't smile." What are they going to do? They're going to smile. Is Jesus doing that? Is he playing a game? Why is Jesus telling him not to say anything? This word in the original language for sternly charged him means to snort. S-N-O-R-T. To snort like a horse with anger. Can you picture Jesus doing that? Jesus said to him, "Don't go say anything." And the word "sent him away," ekbalo, means to cast out or to throw out, the exact same word that Jesus used when he cast out demons. So get the picture here. Jesus is saying to him, "Don't go tell people what has happened to you. Go instead to the priest and do what the law required. Go on right now. Get out of here and go do exactly what the law has told you to do as a witness to them." We don't know exactly why, but Jesus specifically wanted him to go to the priest. and be a witness to them, to testify to them. But we will never know. We will never know. Because the man went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. Now, we're assuming he didn't go to the priest. All we know is, it doesn't say he didn't go to the priest. We're assuming he didn't, though, because it says that he went out and proclaimed everywhere. He disobeyed Jesus. He disobeyed what Jesus told him to do. Do you remember the last time we talked about this passage of Mark? In Mark chapter 1, verse 38 and 39, do you remember what we talked about? Jesus said, "My mission is to go into the towns of Galilee and to preach." And now he can't do that. Why? Jesus was wanting to keep a low profile. Jesus was wanting to be what we call low key. He was not wanting to have all of these large crowds following him so much, because his mission ultimately was preaching the good news, and his mission was to go to Calvary. His mission was to go to the cross. But you remember last time we talked in Mark, the people have another agenda for Jesus. They want Jesus to give them free health care, and they want Jesus to give them free food, and they want Jesus to be their king. They want Jesus to be their Messiah, to overthrow the Roman Empire, but that's not who Jesus is. Jesus is the suffering servant. He's not the king who's going to overthrow Rome. So Jesus has a mission, and this man going out and spreading everywhere was not in the plan of Jesus' mission. Instead, Jesus is not able to go into the cities any longer. Now, there are two things that I want you to see in this passage today. Two things I want you to see. I do want to state, this is a true story. This is not a parable. But in this story, we do have a parable. Do you understand the difference? Some people would say, "Oh, this Jesus didn't really heal people. It's just a story to help us understand God." Jesus really healed the man. But in this story, we have a parable. So two things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see this morning a parable of the gospel message, and I want you to see a parable of gospel ministry. Firstly, a parable of the gospel message. All men and women in this world are spiritual lepers. Spiritual lepers. Leprosy is like sin. Actually, in that time period, they believed that leprosy was so bad that it was a direct punishment from God for some kind of sin. Leprosy went deep in the skin, and so does sin. Leprosy made you unclean, and sin makes you unclean. Just like leprosy, sin makes you gross. There is no human cure for sin. Psychology will not fix you. Education, nope. Finding yourself, no. Following the Eightfold Path of Buddhism will not remove your sin. Sin is infectious. Sin is numbing like leprosy. You stop being able to feel things. You hurt yourself and you hurt other people if you are around them. without even knowing it. Sin isolates like leprosy, and sin will kill you like leprosy does. What is the remedy for sin, and what is the remedy for leprosy? We need to be touched by someone. We need to be touched by someone. Someone who has the power to make us clean, to make us whole. We need someone to trade places with us. What I want you to see is that Jesus changed places with the leper. Jesus was out in the cities, and that man was in desolate places. And now that man is made whole, and he's able to go home, and Jesus is in the desolate place. The clean one, listen closely, the clean one would become unclean. The unclean one would become clean. The one who was an outcast would go home, he'd go back to his family, and he would enter his hometown for the first time in years, and he would cry out, "Clean! Clean!" They traded places. Brothers and sisters, that is our only hope this morning. That is our only hope, that Jesus would trade places with us. Should have been me on the cross, should have been you on the cross, but it was him. He traded places with us. He traded places with the leper. Jesus Christ became unclean. Listen, I'm paraphrasing this verse. The one who was clean became unclean so that the unclean could be clean. Listen carefully. The one who was clean became unclean so that the unclean could be clean. It's exactly what that says. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This healing of the leper is a parable of the gospel. Jesus Christ traded places with the leper. Jesus didn't get leprosy, okay? Jesus didn't get real leprosy. But Jesus did bear all of our sin and all of our punishment on the cross, and gave us eternal life. It's a parable of the gospel, but it's also a parable of gospel ministry. Kent Hughes, longtime pastor in the USA, said this: "We need to lay our hands on some rotting flesh in our neighborhood, in the executive towers where we work, and in the city slums." Why is it a picture of gospel ministry? Because just as Jesus reached out his hand and touched the untouchable, or touched the leper, in the same way we are to minister to people in that kind of way where we touch them. There are people around us every day that need to know that Jesus is willing and able to save even the worst of sinners. Let me ask you a question. Who do you know? Who do you know that's an outcast? Who do you know that is a person that no one wants to be around? Who do you know who is a person that is so sinful you don't want to be around them? That's the person Jesus wants to save. That's the person Jesus wants to touch. Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing to save the chief of sinners. Bad people make good soil. Bad people make great soil. Who is it around you who everybody knows is a sinner and no one wants to be around? Jesus is willing, he's able. We need to do gospel ministry by going and touching people, being a friend to them. How are you going to do it? Who needs a touch, and how will you touch them? Maybe today you feel unclean. Maybe today you came in here this morning feeling unclean yourself. Jesus is willing to touch you. Jesus can wipe away any sin. Jesus is able. His blood is a supernatural detergent that will wash away any stain or guilt. There's no one who is too far from Jesus' ability to cleanse. Jesus is willing to touch you, and Jesus is able to touch you and make you whole. So what do you do? Whether you're a Christian and you know you've messed up, or whether you're not a Christian and you need salvation, you simply do exactly what the leper did. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And you fall down before him and say, I'm unclean. If you're willing, make me clean. That's the gospel. That's good news for people who are sinners. It's meaningless to people who think they're good enough. Do like the leper, by faith, come to Jesus, and he will make you whole. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, Son of God, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for sanctifying us. Jesus, thank you that your blood washed away our sin. Father, thank you that your wrath is satisfied by the work of Jesus on the cross. Thank you that you've made us clean, white as snow, as far as the east is from the west, so have you separated our sins from us. Oh Lord, let us never tire of singing that and proclaiming that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing Nothing But the Blood?